Thank you, Pastor Johnny. Didn't they do a good job? Give him a hand this morning. Well, welcome again to New Freedom Church. I'm glad that you are here. We just started a brand new series last Sunday called I Am Made For. And we talked about last Sunday that we are made for victory. Everybody say victory.
Victory!
And so sometimes we forget that we are winners, that no matter what we go through, no matter how hard it is, we are not fighting for victory. We're fighting in the place of victory. The battle has already been won. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen? And when he did that, he won the victory for me. He won the victory for you. And because of that, we know that no matter what we go through, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And so we know that we have been made for victory. Today we're going to be talking about that we were made for endurance. Everybody say endurance.
Endurance.
So back in January, I topped out in my weight at 250 pounds, all right? I've never been that weight, ever. And so I moved to Wisconsin and started eating cheese curds. And then next thing you know, all right? And so, but what happened was, is I told Dana, I said, okay, I need to lose some weight. How many of you guys ever tried to lose weight before I go into this? Really? Thank God I am not alone. All right. So every year we have to do a weigh-in for our insurance, which I absolutely hate. Anybody else have to do that? Really? You know, you got to go into this room, you got to fill it out. You got to hold this thing that shows your BMI. You got to step on the scale, all this stuff. I hate it, all right? Absolutely hate it. We get two tries. And the first try, I always fail. I walk in there and go, I failed. Just so you know, I failed, all right? And so the second try, in January, we started this journey of losing weight. And I have learned that through losing weight, it's not about sprinting. You have got to endure. You've got to persevere. It's not about changing big, big things. It's about changing little things that in the end produce the results that you're looking for. And so I'm not here talking about weight loss today, but weight loss is an all-out long process that you have to gut it out through. And so yesterday was the last weigh-in of the whole deal. And so I went in and made the weight and lost like 13 pounds. And I've been working out and doing all of these different things, but it is hard. And it's not about crash diets. It's not about the Malibu diet. It's not about all of those different things. But it's just about doing the simple things right. And when you have a bad day, you get back up. You don't throw the whole thing away. You get back up and you do it again. We have some people in here that do personal training, right? Raise your hand if you do some personal training. Yeah. Chris does personal training. Also, he is training for, what's it called again? The U.S. Championships, and he is a bodybuilder. And she's got 4 weeks to go, right? Three weeks to go. So Chris is very laser-focused. Andy back there, he is a personal trainer as well. He will kick your butt, all right? So talk to either one of these guys, and they will tell you it's not about a sprint. It is a steady jog toward your goal, whatever goal there is, all right, that you have. And so endurance plays out not just in weight loss, but in every aspect of our lives. Now, as Americans, we like it here. We like it now. We like the way we want it. And if we don't get it the way we want it, when we want it, how we want it, we complain about it. Can I get a? And that's just the way it is because we are Americans. And we can find out any piece of information we want in seconds. Right here. How many of you guys got your phones this morning? Anything that is ever written in all of history, every piece of knowledge you ever want to know, you can find right there on your smartphone. We want it here. We want it now. We want it in seconds. We don't like buffering, right? We don't like not having Wi-Fi, and it takes us forever to pull up the picture that we took last Friday. We want it right now. So we don't know anything sometimes about endurance, about hardship, about pressing forward. And a lot of us have been through hardships. If you're breathing here this morning, you have struggled in life. Amen? We all have. But sometimes, especially when it comes to our walk with Christ, we give up way too easy. We give up way too easy. We think that because we came to Christ, that He has given us everything we need, that we're never going to mess up. It's not going to be hard anymore. He endured the cross, so now we got it easy. And when I first came to Christ, I thought that's exactly the way it was supposed to be. I didn't think I was supposed to endure. I didn't think I was supposed to hold fast. I didn't think that I was supposed to stand. I didn't think that I was supposed to struggle in all of His strength. All I thought was that now that I'm born again, Christ has fought every battle for me, so it's all easy. I'm not going to struggle with my past mouth. I'm not going to struggle with my past history and my old habits and all those different things. But what I found out is I did. I still had the same mouth that I had. I still had the same doubts that I had. I still had the same short fuse that I had always had. And one day I thought about just giving it up entirely. And I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I've had a bad day and this Christian thing really isn't working out for me." And he said, "Well, tell me about it." So I gave him this long list and I said, "I thought that I was not supposed to struggle. I thought that Jesus paid it all for me. I thought that I wasn't going to deal with these issues anymore, that once I became born again, all this stuff is behind me." And he said, "Yes, you've been forgiven, but son, there is a struggle ahead of you. A struggle to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. There's going to be a struggle of you dying to yourself." How many of you guys ever struggled with that before? Every hand should be going up in this room. Dying to yourself is not easy. It is ugly. It takes perseverance. It takes dying to yourself. It takes denying those impulses that we once had, that old self that rises up. And we have to determine in those moments if we're going to endure, if we're going to persevere, if we're going to walk this thing out. And this morning, I'm here to tell you that you are made for endurance. Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for this message today. I ask, Father, that you would anoint me to preach your word today and anoint each and every heart and ear in this place to hear your word. May it be transformative in their spirit. May it transform their hearts. May it renew their faith. May it renew their minds as I focus upon you this morning and preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Corinthians, turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 through 9. Then we're going to skip down to verse 16 to 17. It says this, and this is Paul talking, all right? It's Apostle Paul talking. And he knows a little bit about suffering. He knows a little bit about endurance. He knows a little bit about persevering. And so this is what he said. He said, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." This is not Paul just penning some kind of passive letter to a church, to the Corinthian church. This is Paul's creed. This is his battle cry. This is a man that has struggled. This is a man who has persevered. This is a man who has been beaten within an inch of his life. This is a man who has been shipwrecked, who has been put out into the open sea. This is a man who has been lowered down on the backside of an alley, down a wall in a basket to avoid his peers, that were trying to kill him. And Paul is saying this. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. He said, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. We've been struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. He said, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And this is what he goes on to say, for our light and momentary troubles. I don't know about you, but being stoned is not light, right? Being beaten publicly within an inch of your life is not light. And by no means in the moment do we feel like it's momentary. But Paul is making light of his struggles. He is minimizing them compared to the glory that is to come. He's keeping his eyes upon the prize, upon the finish line. And that is the salvation of our soul. That is our march home to heaven. Amen. But sometimes in the struggle, sometimes in the persevering, we forget what the goal is. And that is heaven. That is seeing Jesus, our Savior, face to face. Being able to look at our Heavenly Father and say, I love you face to face. That's the goal. That's the prize. But in the struggle, in the midst of it, we forget about that. But Paul is saying, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs every trouble, every trial, every betrayal in my life, every stoning I've ever had, every imprisonment that I've ever endured, every beating that I have to endure. All of this is worth it. It far outweighs them all. Here, the Apostle Paul is preaching to the Corinthians. He is teaching the church about some of the hardships and trials that he himself and his co-workers were subject to for preaching the gospel. Here are some of them. Number one, he said, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. He is reminding himself. He is speaking that creed over himself. And he said, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. In other words, we may be beaten in our body, but our spirit is not crushed. We may be confused, but we're not destroyed. We may be persecuted, but we are not abandoned. You may be in a place where you feel like you've been persecuted by your family because of your faith, your co-workers because of your faith, your closest friends because of your faith. But Paul is saying here, even though we're persecuted, we're not abandoned. God is with us. His Spirit is with us. We are struggling in all of His strength. Paul said, I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to live in plenty. I know what it means to live in want. But at the end of the day, he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He goes on to say, we are struck down, but not destroyed. You may be going through your worst day where you're doubting everything. Your decision to follow Christ. Your decision to start coming to church again. Your decision to start serving again into church. Your decision to go on a missions trip. Your decision to start volunteering. Your decision to be obedient in the workplace. And all of a sudden, this crushing blow hits you. And you begin to start questioning everything. Know this, that you may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. You are not by yourself. You are not abandoned. You have got a God that said He would never leave you, nor would He forsake you. He is here to help you endure. Amen? Paul is teaching us that what we suffer now can't be compared to the glory of heaven that awaits us. This was a man well acquainted with suffering. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 27. Paul is going to lay all of this out. And what he's doing is, there was a lot of bragging in the church. And the Corinthian church was an absolute mess. People were getting drunk in church. Can you imagine that? People fall down drunk on Sunday mornings. They couldn't have a coherent service because all of the drinking going on. There was all kind of craziness going on. They were mixing the gospel with idolatry as well. And so Paul is coming in and they're bragging about all of their exploits. And so Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to brag about that, let me tell you some of the things that I have had to endure for the gospel in order for this church to be here. Let me just tell you what is at stake here. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and 27, this is what he said. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Paul is teaching us something very basic of our faith, and that is what we often miss because we are panicking in our faith. In that moment is this: we are all going to face some hard things. It's going to test our faith as we move forward and press on, as we persevere, as we struggle toward the goal, toward the mark, toward the prize. Paul is also teaching us this important lesson. We're not always going to come up on top. We're not always going to win the battle. There are no participation trophies handed out just for playing. Paul is saying you're going to have bad days. You're going to doubt your faith. There are going to be times when you are struggling and you are believing for a financial miracle and it's not going to happen. You are going to pray for God's healing in your body, for healing in your kids, and sometimes it's not going to happen. And when that time comes, what are you made of? When that time comes and confusion happens in your brain, and you're like, okay, I remember your word that said, if we have the faith as small as a mustard seed, we could say to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea. But Lord, what has happened is I prayed, and that mountain fell on my head. I'm not preaching to anybody over here. I said, when I prayed, that mountain fell on my head. And it seems like when I prayed for a financial miracle and all of a sudden my car breaks down. Or my dog gets sick and I have to pay $177. That was me this week. Very specific. Well, my dog is almost like, you know, decrepit, and she was throwing up a lot. And so I thought, this is the end. And the vet said, just got a tummy ache. I'm like, $177, come on. But when we're praying for stuff like that, we're not everything is going to work out the way you want it to. That is not how life works, and that is not how your faith works either. We're not always going to get on top every time we pray. Sometimes we're going to hit rock bottom in our faith, but it's in those moments that we learn what we are made of. Even though he went through times, the Apostle Paul went through times of suffering, Paul continued to be constantly on the move. Though he suffered many things, he endured and never stopped moving forward. He was able to endure intolerable conditions and still continued to work hard. That's why the Apostle Paul and Silas, in the middle of the night, they were beaten within an inch of their life. They were just minding their business. Matter of fact, the Bible says Paul and Silas was walking to a prayer meeting. I mean, how spiritual can you get, right? These two guys were going to church. And all of a sudden, this woman that could tell everybody's future came up to them and said, "Hey, I want to tell you your future. I know who you are. You were a servant of the Most High God." And Paul said, "Be quiet, leave me alone. I'm just going about my business." And she kept saying it over and over and over again. Finally, he turned around, laid his hands on this woman, and cast that demon out. And her owner saw it and saw that she was no good for him anymore, that he couldn't profit off of her witchcraft. He had Paul and Silas arrested for damaged goods to his property, beaten within the inch of their life, thrown into prison. They're in there, no shirt on, just a loincloth on, beaten, their backs bloody, their pride's beaten down. But about midnight, the Bible says, all of a sudden, they started singing. They started worshiping God. And the Bible says that, to shorten the story, that the jail began to shake and the chains fell off of them. And an angel appeared and opened up the door, and Paul and Silas were led out to freedom. We have got to understand that there is a blessing in endurance. And if we will stay the course, you'll have an opportunity to see God's hand come at you in a way that will bless you. Maybe not like you want to. Maybe not like you specifically prayed. But God knows what is best. Can I hear an amen this morning? Life is going to come at you hard. Take it from a good friend of mine. His name is Rocky Balboa. Watch this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life.
Vince Lombardi once said, "Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit." That is powerful. Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. And so often, we will do whatever it takes at work to get that promotion, to get overtime, to show our worth. But when it comes to our walk with Christ, we give up at a moment's notice. We give up when our feet start to burn a little bit. We get offended just because somebody didn't shake our hand on somebody on Sunday morning. We get offended so easily when we pray and it doesn't work out the way we prayed that it would work out. All of a sudden, our faith is rocked and we give up. We quit. We go to another church. We go somewhere else where it's easy. We stay home. We do whatever it is to make us happy because it was too hard. Well, God, you said, but I'm not happy. God's not concerned about your happiness. If you'll press in, if you'll hold fast, if you will believe when you're not supposed to believe, if you'll struggle when your knees is buckled, if you will believe when your teeth are gritted, God will come through for you. His promises are true. His mercy is enough for you. Amen? Every Christian will face trials. And that's just a fact. That's just the way it is. It's not going to turn out every time the way we want it to. There's going to be times when you're going to face suffering. There's going to be times of pressure. There's going to be times of trouble, times of affliction, anguish, and burdens. And in that moment, in those times, is when your faith matters the most. It comes down to what we truly believe. Church, we're made for endurance. We must endure. We must hold fast. We must stand. We must believe. Amen? And let's not forget that there is blessing through endurance. Turn with me to James chapter 1, 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy. Everybody say pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of you guys have faced trials of many kinds this morning? I'm going to raise both hands. When faced with trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 5, 10 through 11 says this, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job 42:10 says this, so the Lord restored what Job had lost after he prayed for his friends, and the Lord restored all that had belonged to Job. And just for the sake of thoroughness, let me read to you exactly what God restored to Job. Now, all of you guys know the story of Job, right? Job was one of the most righteous men in all of the earth, close friend to God. He was a righteous man. He was blessed beyond measure. He was a rich dude before this. And the enemy came in and afflicted Job. In one day, in one storm, he lost all of his kids. They were all at his oldest house, and they were having a good time celebrating. And all of a sudden, a storm came through, killed all of them. He had one of his servants come to him and said, hey, Job, you have lost everything. Bandits have stolen all of your wealth. And then all of a sudden, as he's speaking, boils start to come up all over his body. And the Bible says that he sat in a heap of ash, taking broken pottery and scraping his skin because it itched so bad. And this is what Job had the audacity to say. What Job says offends me. It offends my nature of wanting to always be blessed and always wanting to have it my way. It offends me what Job said. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That statement offends me. It doesn't want me to say amen. It makes me go, are you kidding me? Like the enemy and God had this conversation about you being the most righteous, and the devil said, no, if just one little trial came his way, he'd totally deny you. And God said, have at it. Job was doing everything right. He was living his life right. And all of a sudden the enemy comes in, takes away everything, brings him to his knees, afflicts his body, and his wife came along and said, are you still holding on to your faith? Why don't you curse God and die? Thanks, honey. Man, I love you. Thanks for being there for me. You are such a blessing. Job was distraught at that moment of that crushing blow. This is what happened to Job. When he persevered, when he saw the struggle, when he persevered and he said those offensive words, he also went on to say, though he slay me, yet I will still praise him. Ooh, that offends me. Because my nature is, God, where are you? I asked that this mountain would be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it landed on me. You missed the mark. I was living right. Where were you? Don't look at me like that. You know you think the same thing. You pray the same things. We do this. But it's not about how we start out. It's about how we finish. Amen? It's about how we finish. And so this is what happened when Job gave God an opportunity to come through for him. This is what happened in Job 42, 12 through 17. More specifically, this is how God blessed Job. So the Lord blessed the second part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Nowhere in all the land could women be found who were as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance alongside their brothers. That is unheard of. After this, Job lived, now listen to this, get this. After this, Job lived 140 more years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so Job died old and full of days. Come on, I want that. Amen. I want that in my life. But the only way we can be old and full of days is if we persevere, is if we don't give up. We keep moving forward in all of his strength. Job said in an ash pit of what used to be blessing. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Dana and I celebrated this past Thursday 21 years of marriage. 21 years. Yeah. In my life growing up, my mother had me when she was 16. She left an abusive home and married my dad. He was 19 years old. They were here a couple of weeks ago, and she brought me their marriage certificate. It's like pocket size. It was pretty cool. And my mom and I, we say we kind of grew up together, although she got to whip me, and I couldn't whip her. It wasn't fair. I couldn't discipline her. She could discipline. She had the upper hand and all that. But my mom made mistakes in her life. She's been married 4 times. I don't say that to her shame. I say that because it's part of my story. It's part of my mom's story. In that time, there was confusion for me because there were stepdads that said that I'm here. I'm going to stick. I'm going to stay. You can count on me. And when the struggle got real, they left. I had my dad. He was always there for me. Now the man that my mother's married to, I actually married them 24 years ago. And he's a wonderful man. And I love him dearly. But I told somebody the other day, I said, the decision that I made to follow Christ is going to have generational impact on my kids. My kids will never, they will never know divorce. They'll never know what it is. They'll know what it is for their mom and dad to argue and get upset with one another. That they will. But they'll never know divorce because I prayed when I was 11 years old. Get this, I'll never forget this prayer. Lord, I've got stepbrothers and stepsisters and I love them dearly. But I prayed and I said, Lord, when I get married, I never want to be divorced. I want my boys and my girls to know that their mom and dad always loves them. And that prayer that I prayed 11 years ago will affect their generation, my 18-year-old and my 14-year-old. And it'll affect their kids and their kids to come. The decisions that my father made to follow Christ has reached generationally within me, and now my kids are the third generation of believers. That takes perseverance. That takes causing your life to be unoffendable. That takes endurance. That takes persevering, and that takes moving and struggling, and not all of your strength, but all of His strength, and saying to the wind and to the rain, peace be still, and it will be still. Amen? We need to understand that the struggle that we're fighting is not about today. It's about generationally. It's about affecting your kids to the second, third, and to the fourth generation. That's why Job's life was talked about in this manner. It said, after this, after God blessed Job's socks off, that his former days were better than his latter days. It says this, after this, Job lived 140 more years. He saw his children and his children's children to the fourth generation. And so Job died old and full of days. Church, I want that. My life is a blessed life. My bank account does not determine my blessing. My house, my car, my possessions do not affect my blessing. Amen? It doesn't define who we are. My dad died penniless in a nursing home, but he was the richest man I ever knew. Not because of how he died or because he was in a nursing home or whatever, his stuff. We threw 90% of his stuff away. The only thing I possess of my dad is a rifle and my pocket knife that I keep in my pocket everywhere I go. And his glove, his golf glove, which is attached to my golf bag. It's an old, tattered thing, but I keep it there to remind me of him. My dad died old, well, not old, but full of days, because he was a man of God, and he believed God, even in the face of suffering. Church, you were made for this. You were made to persevere. You were made to see the goodness of God right here, right now. But don't give up. When you're struggling the most, that's when it counts the most. Don't quit, because if you do, it's habit forming. Don't get so easily offended, because if you do, it's habit forming. Don't give up. Push forward. Amen? Jesus told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Would you all stand with me this morning? Jesus is talking to Paul, and Paul, the Bible says that he had a thorn in the flesh. In other words, he had a sickness. Yet he prayed about it. Dear God, would you remove this from me? Over and over and over again, he prayed, God, would you remove this from me? And it didn't work out the way Paul wanted it to. And Paul is recounting this story to the church. And Paul is saying, this is what the Lord said to me at the end of that prayer. God, remove this thorn in the flesh. Paul said, this is what Jesus himself spoke to me. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Put your name in that. My grace is sufficient for you, Russ. My grace is sufficient for you, Dave. My grace is sufficient for you, Sarah. My grace is sufficient for you, Chris. My grace is sufficient for you, Jimmy. And here's why. For my power is made perfect, not sufficient, not adequate, but my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's a game changer. That means you don't have to be strong enough. It means you don't have to struggle in all of your own strength. It means that you don't have to have all the answers. It means that you don't have to be strong enough. You don't have to be talented enough. That in your weakness, His power is made perfect. This statement is revolutionary. It means that the shame has been removed off of our weakness because His strength is made perfect. That's why Paul said he was able to boast in his weaknesses. Jesus is telling Paul that He wouldn't allow him to crumble under the weight of his trials. And He will not let you shrink. He will not let you go under. He'll not let you capsize. He'll not let you cave in or disappear under the burden of your worries. How can anyone experience God's blessing if they've never endured hardship? Look at me this morning. You were made for this. Listen to my words this morning. You were made for this. You were made to endure. You were made to persevere. God has uniquely designed you. You were not cut from any other mold. You and you alone. There's no one on the face of this earth like you. You can persevere in all of His strength. And on the day that you sit in the ash of what used to be your life, we can say, as Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, this morning, may we understand and recall in our spirit that Your grace is sufficient. It is enough. God, You don't have to do, like I said last week, You don't have to do one more thing. You have already done it. So Lord, we'll no longer say, I need more of You. God, I need more of Your power. You have given us everything. The same power that resurrected You from the grave lives within me. Your love that rescued the earth lives in me, breathes in me, producing life in me, producing hope in me. So Father, help us to recognize what You have given us in our hand. You have given us victory and You have given us endurance. Help us to run the race to win the prize. Help us, Father, not to buckle under the pressure, because Your grace is sufficient for me. Thank You that Your power is made perfect in my weakness. In those places that I'm ashamed of, Your grace is sufficient. Your power is made perfect in my shame. Your grace and Your power has been made perfect in my sickness. You got sickness in your body this morning. God's grace and His power is perfect in your weakness. If you're struggling with your worth this morning, His power is made perfect in your weakness. In that place where you can't find a way to trust anybody, His power is perfect in your weakness, because His grace is sufficient for you. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, this morning, right now, you were made for this. If you say, Pastor Jimmy, I don't know Christ. Maybe you have given up a long time ago, and maybe you've just come sporting a smile every Sunday. You were made for this moment. If you want to receive Christ, if you want to start that relationship with Him now, would you raise your hand so I can see it? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to I'm not going to shame you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, I buckled under the weight. I caved in. That mountain that came down on my head, I said that was enough. But today, I realize I've been made to endure. Today, I realize I was made for this moment. You want to renew your faith today? Would you raise your hand? We're just going to pray over you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Here at New Freedom Church, we pray together. So we're going to pray this morning. Pray with me. Father God, in this moment, I realized I'm made for this. Today, I make a decision that will change my life and the next generation. It is not too late for me. Today, I renew my commitment. I get back into the struggle. And I rely upon your strength. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Strengthen me. Encourage me so that your strength will be made perfect in my weakness. Today, I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you raise your hands all across this room? I want to pray over you. Chris, would you come up here? Honey, would you come up here as well? Matt, come on up. Lystra, come on up. We've got some people up here that will pray over you. If you need prayer about anything this morning, if you made a decision to commit your life to Christ, come and let us pray and encourage you. Let us be your cheering section this morning. Amen. So I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to pronounce a blessing over you. And after that, we're going to dismiss. And then if you need prayer about anything, come on up. All right. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I bless the people of New Freedom Church. Every person that has their hands up, I bless them in the name of the Lord. I pray, Father, that when struggles come, when hardships come, when they're pressed on every side, when they feel like that they are struck down, help them to remember that they are not abandoned, that they will never be in despair, that they may be pressed but not crushed. They may be perplexed but not in despair. They may be persecuted but not abandoned. They may be struck down and on their knees, but they are not destroyed. And so, Father, thank you for this word this morning that tells us, reminds us, compels us that we were made for endurance. And so, Father, today, no matter what comes our way, we're going to serve you. We're going to honor you. We're going to bless you. We're going to do as Job said, though you slay me, yet I will praise you. We will recognize your hand even in the darkest moments, even when we accuse you unjustly. Father, help us to remember your hand, your grace, and your power is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, we pray that all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you need prayer about anything, we want to make the altars open to you. If you're a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. Please go back to the guest services. We want to connect with you. We want to make sure that we're ministering to you in a way that brings hope and life to you. Next Sunday, I want to remind you of this. It's small group Sunday. And so we're going to have all of our small group leaders are going to come up here. They're going to tell you what small groups they're going to be leading. And in October, we're going to kick off our small groups. I'm so excited about that. And we've got some awesome small group leaders this time around. And can't wait to introduce them to you. So come ready and excited about that. Please sign the cards back there for the teachers as you leave. Again, if you need prayer, please come right here. We want to make sure that you are prayed for and that we can support you in that way. All right? God bless you guys. Enjoy one another's company. Enjoy the game this evening. If you're going downtown to get into the chaos of all the Packer stuff, be careful. Enjoy yourself. We'll see you guys back here next Sunday. All right? God bless you guys. You are dismissed.